comes to the idea of forbearance, we are talking about something with which we might not feel very comfortable. Amen. Because those that need our forbearance the most are probably the same individuals that annoy you. They're the same individuals that irritate you. They're the same individuals that talk too much. They're the same individuals that process too slow and such like things. Forbearance is a quality of which Christ demonstrates in every encounter with humanity. Jesus, as the Son of Man, shows us we can be like God in the way that we think, in the way that we speak, and in the way that we conduct ourselves. Certainly, we are to conduct ourselves in such a way that others might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And so this morning, I want you to think about forbearance. Our forbearance needs improvement. Needs improvement. And when we think about that, first of all, Ephesians 4 tells us, and it implies two things. First, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." First, we know that we are chosen by God by his plan. When we obey the gospel, we become the property. We are owned. He is our master of our intellect, of our body, of our soul. And so now we belong to him. So our calling to forbear is an ongoing command. That's point number one. Our calling to forbear is an ongoing command. He goes on, verse 4. "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." How was that choosing? What is that process of choosing? When we obey the gospel, we become a part of those that were chosen. What was chosen? Not us individually, but the plan that everyone who obeys becomes a part of God's plan. Verse 5, "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." We are acceptable to God when we demonstrate that we are a united body. Amen. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. You will see this theme throughout this sermon about forbearance. We as brothers and sisters in Christ have the most powerful key to unity, and that is to bear with one another. We are part of a unique local family of the Lord's body that meets here at Frisco. And yet each one of us are purchased by the blood of Christ. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, slave or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Because God put us together in this spiritual body fit for his purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 16. "This is his body, yet we are many members, one of another." That's 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 16. That idea of being members one of another is a central idea when we talk about forbearing. It means there's a connection to our unity, amen? We're not just cohesive. We are not just together in the same place. We are one. We are one blood. We look different. We speak different. We're different ages, different backgrounds, but we are one blood because we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. The Spirit of God that comes through baptism. We've been all washed of previous sins and now made to walk in newness of life. And living faithfully means forbearing with one another. We are a spiritual labor force with one job. One job. Teach others the gospel. That's our mission. So encouraged by the American Mission Campaign that was conducted this week at Roanoke. They were able to reach out to hundreds of people through door knocking, through individual Bible studies, and at the same time, they were conducting a vacation Bible school, and they were incredibly successful. Continue to pray for those contacts in the Roanoke area and those that are now worshiping, even this morning at Roanoke, who had no idea about the church, or those former members who are now back as faithful or with other faithful brethren. Our spiritual work that we do is not heavy lifting. First of all, unity is easy, amen? Why is unity easy? Because when I bear with you, I can stay with you no matter what. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're also living together as brothers and sisters, and at many times we become, you heard this word, too close for comfort. Do you live with anyone? Have you lived with anyone? Have you gotten too close for comfort? Well, spiritually, that happens. What about the idea of put up with, the Greek word for forbearance? Is there limitations to how much I am to put up with? We'll talk about that. First, our duty to one another must be capable of being true even when it is tiring or monotonous. When I feel like doing it or when I don't feel like doing it, we have a duty to forbear with one another, to put up with one another. Convenience cannot rule our heartfelt kindness. Are you nice to your husband? Are you nice to your wife when they're kind to you? Yes. But what about when they're ugly? What about when they get on your last, well, you fill in the blank. Are you kind to them then? Is it only based on what they do? What forbearance says is there's a responsibility, this moral obligation from Jesus himself. Listen to what we have already read from Ephesians 4. We're the prisoners of the Lord. We are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. How? With all lowliness, meekness, long-sufferingness, forbearing one another in love. Why? Because it keeps the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You can have a relationship with someone 10, 15 years, and it can be destroyed over a rumor. Over a rumor. That's not forbearing with the person, and that's not you forbearing with them. We're never going to be united with perfect people. The church is not perfect people. If anything, we're dealing with imperfect humans who will wrong you and offend you, but you must bear with one another. You and I have to be next to, and not just physically next to on the pew, we've got to be next to one another spiritually, even though this is the same person that hurt me. I have to love them, and there's a motivation for that. This is the quality of character that's necessary for us to maintain fellowship and to prevent division. What happens when we don't put up with one another? We divide. And it doesn't have to be a church split. It can just be the back pew people and the front pew people, and they don't get along, and they never talk to each other, and they think about this way of that group and this way about that group. And if this group doesn't call me, I'm offended. And if that group doesn't call me, I'm offended. We're easily offended. We're too easily in our feelings and our emotions about what we think we should have. That's not forbearance. You and I must be clothed with this virtue all day, every day. Now let's get the heart of our text. Colossians 3, specifically verse 13. Forbearing. The Greek word is anekro. Literally, to bear up, to hold up under one another. Who am I holding up? Who am I bearing up? I'm bearing with you. You are bearing with me. How? Because the Bible says we have to do this in the most needful times. Listen, the Bible reads this way. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14. Above all things, put on love, charity specifically, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. How can I be thankful for this person that I don't like? Then I can take away my like. That's how. I can be thankful for them because I begin to see them as a precious soul. Every one of us is a precious soul in the sight of God. It is my responsibility, my duty, my obligation to see you that way, and yours to see me that way. That's what God said, not the preacher. God in his word has said this. I'm commending you to do this. Don't be easily offended by those who have or may in the future help you. How is it that we're that easy offended, and someone who did something so encouraging or so unselfish for you in the past and for me? Being able to forbear helps us to not forget those things. It helps us not just to tolerate one another, not just to look for the good side of a person, but literally it helps us to see ourselves as God would have us to see ourselves. And that is, he would have us to see ourselves as brethren. Next, our calling to forbear is an on-the-job training skill. You remember that? No better training than on-the-job training. Learning by doing. Understanding my way of doing something. This is a moral skill. It's determined by my level of wisdom with interacting with you and you with me. I can see if you forbear with me. You can see if I forbear with you. Our humility does not make us agreeable with one another. Amen. That's not what humility produces. It does not produce that we are going to get along. What humility produces is love. I love you, and I will continue to love you while we don't get along, because I understand something. You cannot tolerate me and love me at the same time. Unity is built on our ability to be uncomfortable together. That's what it's saying. Do you get uncomfortable with your family and then go out and get a new family? I want a less comfortable, I want a more comfortable family than this one. Sometimes you may feel like that, but you say, no, this is my blood. We work this out. We stay together. To grow wise is to choose to live at peace with you. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. There is something commanded here that must happen. It must be a relationship that's based on humility, but it's also based on love. Love is uniquely shown by abiding in Christ with our words and our thoughts. One writer has said this: there can be no gossip and patience at the same time. Think about that. There can be no gossip and patience at the same time. Is this on? Yes. No gossip and patience at the same time. What do we gossip about when we are impatient? Or someone who has been impatient with us? That's what I'm emphasizing. It may be one or the other, but not both. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 25 and verse 5. Waiting is the personification of love. You cannot forbear without waiting. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for God to change me. See that? I'm waiting for God to change me, because I have no control over what God does with you. But if God changes me, it doesn't matter what you do. I can love you and forbear with it. Most of the time, the world around us, they just don't like to wait. Amen. The wait a while mentality is not one that our world enjoys. Yet God has said this: how we remain in community together is forbearing. if we're going to have a community, forbear. If we're just going to be a cohesive, if we're just going to be a collection, a gathering, then just wait until somebody gets on your nerve and then you lose. And then you found your own gathering, right? And then when those people offend you, irritate you, you go find another gathering. As you started as one, now you got three. And it goes on and on and on. If we remain together, we are pleasing to God. How? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is love in action. That's what forbearing is. It's not tolerance. It's also not looking over sin. Next, our calling to forbear is our culture. Our calling to forbear is our culture. In the best sense, it would change the world as we know it if our society had more forbearance. Amen. It would change our world. It does not feel good. We frown on this way of thinking in our society, the wait a while mentality. This is because we cling to our own personal set of values. Our world does. Our society does. It says your personal set of values, that's what you pick, rather than that which is common to us in walking together with Jesus. See, what changes the difference in our family? We walk together with Jesus. Amen. That's what makes our family special. That's what establishes our culture, our values. It is literally like the military. When you go into military, what are they doing in basic training? They are taking the civilian world out of you and putting the military in you. And they will do that day in, day out. And they have a systematic methodology to make you more military in the way you think, in the way you speak, and in the way you walk. Literally or figuratively, God wants to take our values, our culture of sin out of us and put in his knowledge and his love. But that's a process. In the military, it takes 8 to 12 weeks. In Jesus' army, it takes a lifetime. Amen. He is always shaping us to be in the mold that he sets. I want to be more like him. I volunteered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Please wash away my sins. I obeyed him and I was baptized. Now I belong to him. Please keep shaping me in your image. Do not let social media or culture of this day tell you, be aggressive. Accomplish what you want while there is the opportunity. It doesn't matter if you have to step on each other. It doesn't matter if you have to step on other Christians who get in your way. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. James chapter 3, verse 15. I want heaven, not my next promotion, not my next raise or vacation. I want to please God by not overreacting and sometimes by not reacting at all. That takes maturity. That takes wisdom. Next, our calling to forbear is our badge of honor. If you think about those things that are honorable among Christians, it's honorable to be a member of the Lord's body. Amen? It's honorable to name the name Christ. To overlook the faults of another is genuine love because Jesus overlooked my faults. That's where this source of forbearance comes from. The love that Jesus showed me when I had faults. And whenever those faults come again, he continually cleanses me of my sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. The time we need the most forbearing muscles, when we really don't want to do it. That's when we need the most forbearance. That's what makes it difficult. Brother or sister, annoy me, please. Brother or sister, irritate me to no end. Brother or sister, frustrate me until I'm about to scream. Brother or sister, well, all those responses, sinful. Every one of those. Well, they just pushed me to that's sinful. Well, I couldn't take it in. I just couldn't take it. All that's sinful. To tie these emotions together and to equalize them, it means hug the person who you really don't want to be around. This person that you want to strangle sometimes, hug them, not just physically, hug them spiritually. See them as your family. This is love in action. Beareth all things, this love does. Believeth all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the kind of love. That's charity in the King James. Unselfish, agape love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. This is not resentment because of irritation. This is not, I'm gonna hold on to this, and if you do it one more time, I'm done. Why? Because that's arrogance, that's pride, sinful. Sinful attitude. Let's just call it what it is. It's sin. This weakness, horrible habits, terrible traits of our fellow Christians need our forbearance. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. The elbow who talks too much. The knee that processes too slowly. The eye who loves awkward conversations. The feet that hurt you deeply. And the hand that can't stop with political views that make your stomach hurt. All of those are part of the body, which with which we are all members of one body. There isn't another body you can go to. This is the only one that Jesus has put you in, and you asked to be here. So now, what am I going to do in this body? These brothers and sisters don't deserve you to forbear with them, but they're your family. They're my family. Our calling to forbear is how God shapes us. He shapes us in many ways, but he shapes me and you by always bearing with the sin when it is in my house, not yours, my house. That's all forbearance is. Can I let God change me? The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm, he brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Acts chapter 13, verse 17. Every one of us, if you look back at the attitudes that they complained, they grumbled, they were angry at Moses, they were angry at God for putting them in the wilderness, that's all of us. And God did not go out and choose a new people. He just continued to shape his people. That's us. How long shall I forbear it? How long do I have to keep doing this? That ye may walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Every good work, Lord. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, all patience, all patience, and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which he hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians chapter 1, 10 through 12. Our calling to forbear acknowledges his will. He is in control. Jesus will not forbear the unjust and the unrepentant sinful person. That's the only person that we cannot forbear, someone that Jesus cannot. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Matthew chapter 17, verse 17. Remember, God will judge all of us on that great and terrible day. The just and the unjust. How do we show forbearance the way that Jesus did? He loved his enemies. Who? Even me? Yes, you and me. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it beautiful how simply the Bible puts it? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Summary. Forbearance. Forbearance means I'm ready to see you above me. Humility. But no matter what, it doesn't matter how you are. With all your imperfections, I love you. And I'm asking God to help me love like he loves you. That's forbearing as a Christian. How do we do that? Well, first, we must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 3:16. We've got to repent of sin. All these things mentioned are part of repentance. Luke 13:3. We've got to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Lastly, live faithfully. Forbearing one another is a part of living faithfully as a Christian. Let us do that. Our calling to forbear is an ongoing command. Our calling to forbear is on-the-job training. Our calling to forbear is our culture. And our calling to forbear is our badge of honor. Maybe this morning, when you think about your level of forbearance, patience, it's not what it needs to be. I hope that this encourages you, that it sparks you to go back and study these things. Think about the context of Scripture. Think about what Jesus has put up with me and does continue to do. How can I emulate Christ in this way? Let's go to God in prayer. Great all-wise Father, we thank thee because you have shown us the perfect example of patience and of forbearance. Father, so many times we are easily offended. We're easily hurt by so many little inconveniences and by the petty words and the petty actions of a brother or a sister or a stranger. Help us, Lord, to have the patience that you did. You endured the utmost persecution and torture and hardship and even death. And you did that for me. You did that for us. And we're so thankful, Father, that we have a living example, that you show us how to love the way that you love, that you show us that being tolerant is not enough, that we must forbear so that we are unified as your people. Father, we pray that there's never any division among your people, that when there are disagreements and when there are disharmonies, that you quickly help us to be able to resolve it and to stay together. But no matter what, let us be one body, one people. And in every way, Father, guard our hearts against these things. We know that they are from the devil. We do them because it just feels comfortable. Our own weaknesses, our own selfishness, our own pride, it gets in the way of us humbling ourselves before you. Change us, Lord. Shape us in the image of your Son. Make us to be more like him. These humble, feeble, so prone to sin people that you love so much. Of which, Father, we're so privileged to be called your children. We just ask your strength. We ask for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, and amen. At this time, we offer the Lord's invitation. Maybe there's something that has been heavy on your heart. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you as we stand, as we sing.